Hello, beauties. Welcome to my show, Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health. I'm your host, Kim Billick. I'm a women's empowerment and sexual health coach, Reiki master, yoga therapist, and occupational therapist. This podcast is going to be raw and juicy. And yes, we'll be talking about all things women's health uncensored. We'll be talking about periods, hormone health, sex, pleasure, pregnancies, all those things that may be going on down there that are making you feel uncomfortable. Anything that you may be feeling scared or ashamed to talk to your doctor about, your partner, your girlfriend, let's just consider this podcast real girl talk. Be sure to check me out on Instagram at @KimBillick_ or my website www.amala-living.com. Hello, beauties. Welcome back to Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health Uncensored. Today, I have the beautiful Amaya Shiva. She is a transformation coach and an Ayurvedic practitioner and CEO of Siddha Labs. Did I say that correctly?
Siddha Labs.
Oh, Siddha Labs. Sorry about that. With the herbal supplements, we're going to get more into that. I'm super excited to have this conversation because we are going to be talking about the things that many of us women are told are normal when really they aren't. And Amaya is going to have some great remedies, her herbal remedies that are going to help you ladies move through these symptoms that you may be feeling. But before we get into that, I'm going to get or allow Amaya to just share a little bit more about what she does.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for that introduction. And as you mentioned, I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner and transformation coach, and I'm super passionate about using the knowledge and wisdom of Ayurveda, not just to help people achieve excellent health, but I actually believe health is the vehicle, not the goal. And it is through that platform that we explore the four aims of human life that are outlined in yogic philosophy, right? Like, I'm very steeped in Vedic culture. And what we are here to do as human beings is to do our dharma, right? This is give your divine contribution, your unique magic and medicine that only you have, right? There's artha, accumulation of wealth, really being able to support yourself and your family. There is kama, which people think of as sex. And yes, sex is important. And it's also intimacy, connection, and community building. And then last but not least, there is moksha, or spiritual liberation, which is getting yourself out of the way. Like, you do your best and let God do the rest. So these are the tenets, foundations, and principles that I take my clients on a journey through. And thank you so much for having me here today.
You are so welcome. So two things, because I'm sure some people aren't sure what Ayurveda is. So I'd love for you just to give a little definition, explanation of that. And I would love for you to just share how you take your clients through this healing journey, because I know there's so many levels to it, and I would just love to hear a little bit more what it looks like.
Absolutely. So Ayurveda translates to the science of life, and it's actually two words put together: Ayuhu, which means life, and Veda, which is study of. And then there's some Sanskrit vowel changes that happen, which make it Ayurveda. And what Ayurveda is, oh my God, it's this incredible philosophy, science, and strategy on how to optimize your human experience based on your unique constitution type and your unique gifts, right? No person is the same. So isn't it absurd that we try to look to other people to figure out what our own inner wisdom is? But what Ayurveda is really about is tuning the radio station so that you can hear the signals from your soul, from your spirits, that are shouting to you what you need to do in life, right? Tapping in and tuning into that inner wisdom. And the biggest block to being able to do that is when you feel like shit in your body, right? Like when you have dis-ease, you are not able to do your divine work in the world. So Ayurveda is so intelligent and so nuanced. It's looking at everything from your constitution type, your activity level, what is the climate that you live in? All of these factors are taken into consideration to build this like dope ass roadmap for your shine, right? For your sparkle.
I love that. And I would love that you really highlight that everybody is different and that you can't look to somebody else for your treatment or your journey. And I always say that, you know, people are like, well, what do your programs look like? And I'm like, well, I have my template, but it's not the same for any person and any two people because it's bioindividuality. Like everybody's journey is a little bit different. We could have, as we'll get into, say two women missing their periods, but the little root causes to them, or the big root causes, depending, are going to be different. Mm-hmm. So they need to be addressed in different ways. So that is beautiful. And that is actually, I have experienced Ayurveda, and I will say it is a very beautiful medicine. I call it a medicine. Mm-hmm. It is just so nice that it is per individual, mm-hmm, with the treatment. Yes, I agree. So I would love to know, so we're talking about women's health, women's hormonal health here today. And what is something common that you hear from your clients or see in your clients that they come into with complaints saying, oh, I went to see the doctor, because usually that's where it starts. You go to your gynecologist or your general practitioner, and you know, they kind of maybe brush it off and just say, oh, take some Tylenol, Aleve, for those cramps, you know, it's nothing. Or here's some antidepressants for your moodiness, it's nothing. You know, what are the common things you hear?
Oh yeah. I mean, all of those things, right? PMS, it's huge. PMS is one of the most debilitating aspects of women's hormonal health for many women and for many reasons. And then cramping is second. So it's really these two things, the mood swings and the pain, right? That's what women are struggling with.
And with that, when they come in with that, are they often like, because I hear this, but are they like coming to you and saying, yeah, my doctor or whoever they went to go see just said, this is normal and I got to deal with it. Is this what you're hearing quite often?
You know, I actually don't hear that said explicitly. It's more at this point implied in our culture, right? Like this is a bigger syndrome than just your doctor. It is advertising. It is Midol commercials. It is all these messages we have received since we were little girls about period health and what it means and all this misinformation. And so I really, it's so much bigger than just the doctor's office, right? It's really this culture of advertising and marketing that is preying on our disconnect from the witch, from the womb, and from our own inner wisdom about what to do and how to stay balanced. So yes, and yes.
Actually, I really like that you highlight that it's in the commercials and our culture and stuff. Like we do forget about that. And it is ingrained in very subtle ways for, you know, that we do think it's normal. And, you know, think back to your first bleed even. I mean, I know my mom was kind of just like, okay, go get some pads. And I didn't learn anything really about it in school. The sex ed conversation, I think, was maybe 20 minutes. There was a video. I do remember that. But there's nothing else. And like you say, like creating that connection to the womb and bringing back the witch, and witches are good people, not like what we think of it for Halloween or anything like that, but just really, really connecting. And, I have something that's going to help women coming out soon. It'll be launching in the next month. That's going to help with that connection. But what are your suggestions and how do you help women navigate this?
Which thing? So the PMS or
the PMS and just like connecting, to the womb space and their cycles.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, so much of that just begins with giving women, my clients, permission to rest on their periods. So in Ayurveda, and I don't know if you think the same way, but I'm going to share with you my perspective. Mm-hmm. We don't, like, the first 2 days of your period, you should not be having sex. You should not be exercising. Traditionally, what did women do? What do women do in indigenous culture? They're not out there on the stairmasters doing like and doing squats. They are in a hut. They're in a menstrual hut, allowing their bodies to cleanse, right? So this is really step one. During your cycle, what we call apana vayu, which is the downward and outward flow of your body, is very active. And this is also the most easily disturbed energy. So when you start messing with apana, you can develop a number of health issues and a lot of psychological issues, right? It's like when you move against that energy, you push the energy back up and it can get stuck in the head. So it can create a lot of mental tension and contribute to irritability and a lot of these mood things that come, and to pain, right? So this is step one, the way I teach my clients how to really honor that. Like, why do we believe that we have to go, go, go all the time? That's absurd. That's a very masculine belief, in my opinion. And so stepping into just allowing your body and allowing yourself to be, like, we are meant to connect to earth during this time, right? Now, when we're looking at PMS, this is where I have a lot of fun, because it's actually like when people have extreme mood swings and stuff like that, this is a sign of what we call Pitta dosha, right? Now, remembering, for those of you who have never heard these terms, in Ayurveda, we're breaking up the five elements into three doshas. And dosha translates to the word fault. So when I'm talking about a dosha, I'm talking about ways that your body can get out of balance, right? Pitta is fire and water. Now, what are some examples, Kim, of fiery water that you can think of?
Fiery water? Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe I'm misunderstanding the question. Like, I'm actually thinking of like boiling water.
Yes. Yep.
That's what I think of, like, right away. Or, I mean, on the more extreme level, like volcanic ash.
That's right. Volcanoes. How about alcohol, gasoline, rocket fuel? Things that can explode. It's like water that can be set on fire and that can create explosions. So this is the energy that governs the pre-menstrual phase of the cycle. It's governed by Pitta dosha. So if you are a Pitta dominant person and you have a lot of Pitta imbalances, yeah, me too. I'm Pitta. I know all about this. This is where you're going to see that irritability. You might be a person, you know, if you're spotting days before your period, right? This is a very Pitta symptom. Getting pissy, getting depressed. Pitta people are very psychologically hard on themselves, can be when out of balance. So when you have those kinds of symptoms, it's a signal and sign that you get to calm down Pitta dosha. Mm-hmm. And really my favorite tools are so simple and so profoundly effective. And there are two of them that I recommend for women struggling with PMS, and that is aloe vera gel, right? Aloe vera gel is called Kumari in Sanskrit. It is like the goddess of fertility and all this juicy stuff. And number two, evening primrose oil. That will make a huge difference with Pitta type symptoms. Now, just very simple remedies here. This is not a complete system to get rid of all of your Pitta problems. That's a little more in depth, but those are some simple things. I'll pause here. And do you want to interject or have?
Yeah, I do have a couple things to say. First, thank you for sharing that. I did not know about the Pitta energy in your, what we'd call your luteal phase, or when you're in PMS. And just from where we are hormonally and energetics as well, I'm going to just talk to about a couple things. So, and it goes exactly with what you're saying, like, you know, you have this fiery energy. And if you're feeling irritable or anxious, or, you know, kind of up out of your body sometimes, and to come back in, what I want to say is, it's good to reflect during that time. We are energetically like the bullshit detectors. This is a time that we're actually meant to come into our bodies and reflect. And if there's emotions, so if you're feeling irritable every single month, take a moment and reflect, put your hand on your womb, put your hand on your pussy, and be like, why is this coming up? Mm-hmm. And if it's the same thing coming up every single month, that's a good indication that you need to address this. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a conversation with somebody. Maybe, you know, before we hopped on this podcast, I was talking about moving. Maybe it is like a sign I'm feeling irritable because I'm not meant to be here anymore. And I really do need to move. Like, just really checking in with those emotions. With that also being said, as you're checking in, our hormones, our estrogen, our testosterone are on their decline. So we're not going to have as much energy. So if you are feeling that you don't want to be around people, that you don't want to do all the things, honor that. Because your body is telling you something. And this is, you know, we are part of nature. And this is part of our cycle, you know, they call it a moon cycle, because we are connected to the moon even, right? So just really honoring and listening to that. The other thing I wanted to say, and this is a beautiful thing about these conversations, is you were saying going back to our actual menstrual bleed and not having sex on days 1 and 2. And I love your reasoning behind it. But what I say is honor your body, because for some women, they're, you know, really tune into your body. For some women, having period sex actually helps them with their menstrual cramps or their headaches, because with sex and an orgasm, you're releasing those feel-good hormones. And it could be very soothing. And if you are in a relationship, you know, releasing that oxytocin and like the bonding can make you feel more connected with them too. So it kind of goes back to where the beginning of our conversation, everybody's a little bit different. Now, I know what I'm saying might not be in line with Ayurvedic principles, but this is just something that I share with my clients, and even in my own life, I see how I feel. I'm personally fine with period sex if I'm feeling for it, type thing. Mm-hmm. But the workouts, I do agree with you. You know, if you feel like you need to move a little bit, have a gentle yoga practice, go connect with nature, go for a walk, a hike in nature. But those HIIT workout sessions probably are not the best idea. And there again, it goes back to our hormones. All our hormones at that point, as we are on our bleed, are at their lowest time. So if you have a crazy workout and you go to Barry's boot camp and you're like, I'm exhausted after, listen to that. And your body, it's your body saying like, I just don't have that energy. And if you don't want to be around people, if you don't want to go to don't be that person that bails last minute. But if you're really just not like feeling something because your energy is down, honor it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but I was just listening to everything you were saying, and you have like had so many good points that I wanted to like weave in as you were speaking.
Absolutely. No, you know, you are right. It is about listening to your body. Ayurvedically, I would not recommend people have sex during those first 2 days of their flow, because it's usually people don't want to. And, you know, you listen to yourself. That is the most important thing. I do worry that, you know, I've heard women in my practice come in, they're like, oh, you know, well, I like to have period sex because my boyfriend can come inside of me and we don't worry about pregnancy. And it, I'm just
see my face. I'm like, you could still get pregnant though.
Yes. And for some women, it's like, it's more about like they're trying to please their partners to have unprotected sex and let their partner come inside of them instead of it really being an honoring of the menstrual cycle. And so I just bring that up because there's so many scenarios. And at the end of the day, it is true. Listen to your body and really listen to your intuition, not what you're feeling pressured to do, not what anyone is saying to you, but really tapping in and tuning in. So that's all I have to add to that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And like with that tuning in is literally, it could be 2 minutes. Put your hand on your womb and just breathe in, inhale out, feel that breath coming up the front side of the body, exhale, feel it come down the backside like a loop, and literally ask, what do I need today? And you might hear that little voice. Listen to it. Like, it's not your ego kind of going off, but just really listen to it, or just feel the sensations in your body. If you are feeling crampy or you're feeling like stuck in your breath, pay attention to that. It can be something so subtle, and it doesn't take long to really connect with your body. It's just blocking out all the noise for those 2 minutes. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great reminder. And that's something we should honor every day.
I mean, I'm not perfect. But I do my, cause I'm a Reiki master as well. I don't think I told you that. I just got my master's for that. So in the morning when I do my practice, my Reiki practice in the morning, as I'm like closing out, you know, or sometimes I do at the beginning, I'm just like, what do I need today? And that's my like morning check-in before I go on with the rest of my day. Mm-hmm. So I just try to make it part of my morning routine.
Beautiful.
So kind of going back to the PMS. So we talked a lot or a bit about the lifestyle, really tuning into our bodies, but you have your herbal supplement line that you've started. And I would, cause I do get these questions like, what supplements should I take? Diet is a big thing, but like, I'd love for you to speak more on supplements. It'd be great for PMS symptoms, you know, whether it's the bloating, the cramping, headaches, moodiness, all the things that come with PMS, because the list is actually very long. Those are the common ones, but there are some other things that come up.
Totally. So what I mentioned initially about the evening primrose oil and aloe vera gel, those are huge. I really think most women should take aloe, and you just take, you drink like 2 to 4 ounces every day. Like I buy a glass bottle of organic aloe gel and I just take a swig every morning. And I pay attention when I start to enter that pitta phase of my cycle or the luteal phase, right? Like I notice my sleep will start to get a little disturbed and I'll have like more intense dreams. And so this is a sign for me, oh, let's do these practices that cool us down. So those two, plus there is one formula that I make called Yogini Daily Vitality Tonic. And this has been so transformative for a lot of women using it for PMS. And what you can do with that is just take like half a teaspoon, especially during that week to 10 days leading up to your cycle, if you don't want to use it every day. And this will really calm and cool things down, right? Remembering that the PMS phase, again, is the pitta phase. And so it's hot. And it's also a good time to be super mindful of what you're putting into your body and mind. Like, don't go out and eat factory farmed meat ever. And really, really be mindful, because you're sensitive to violence. You're sensitive to the experiences of the beings and food that you ingest. So this is the time to eat what we call a sattvic diet, right? Like, and sattva is peace, right? It's peaceful food. So organic food, whole foods, cooked with love. This becomes very important always, and especially during this phase of the cycle.
Do you have, and I know each dosha has like different foods it should be eating per person, like which depending on what dosha you are, but do you have any suggestions of foods that that you would recommend during that time? Because I know a lot of women have sugar cravings. So, you know, something I will say to them, and this isn't related to Ayurveda, But, you know, I will say, you know, like your root foods, you know, so sweet potato, beets, you know, you're getting your fibers, you're still having that sweetness, but you're not going to go binge on all these chocolate bars or something, or cake. But in saying that, you still can have chocolate, but go for the cacao. Yeah. And, you know, have like a little cacao ceremony, just a ceremony to connect with yourself and your womb. And the beautiful thing with cacao is it has magnesium, which a lot of us we are deficient in. And magnesium deficiency in that actually impacts our sleep, impacts our stress levels, our gut health. And so if we're having that cacao around that time, we're satisfying those sugar cravings and also actually feeding our body something that it needs. So I don't know if there's anything else that you would suggest specifically from an Ayurvedic perspective.
For which thing specifically?
For food, just for food, just to like address, say like the sugar cravings.
Oh yeah. Yes. So you can have more sweet flavor. And when I talk about sweet, I don't mean sugar. I mean like mango, ghee, whole milk that's been boiled and then cooled, things like this that will help to pacify, and sugar-free chocolate. Like I really like Lily's. I think that's a great alternative so that you get all the benefits of the cacao. bitter flavor and sweet flavor are really good for balancing pitta. So it's interesting what you're talking about, like using the, you know, the sweet potatoes and that kind of food that fits into that category of being a pitta balancing food. So how cool is that? Like we see this confluence, right, between these Western ideas and Eastern medicine. So yes to that.
Okay.
And I really think that the best way though is to understand the person, right? Like the best way is to look at the qualities that are showing up, because I'm going to give you an example. And I actually recently created this dosha challenge because I see so much confusion when people are trying to understand their constitution type. It's nuanced, right? So for example, if you're a vata dominant person or you have a vata imbalance, you'll hear people say things like, oh, I'm so vata, you know, but what does that really mean? Right? Like, what does that actually mean practically? So if you are cold all the time, right? This is a sign of vata imbalance. If you have ADD, this is a sign of vata imbalance. However, if you can't focus, do you put on a sweater? No, right? that there's a different approach depending on the underlying driver of the imbalance. And so I really think, and I say this from my own experience and with how much Ayurveda changed my life, right? Which is what made me study it. I had this whole experience that dropped me into the lap of Ayurveda, and I gave up my whole career to go study the science because it healed me when 15 years of Western medicine plus Chinese medicine plus naturopathic medicine couldn't, right? And so it's really worthwhile to invest in understanding yourself. Like just, it's like getting a Vedic astrology reading. Get that blueprint so then you can understand your baseline because we're all so different. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Going on a little bit more, so we're talking about PMS, and I would also love to know how you would address some things when people are actually on their bleeds, or women are on their bleeds. For example, heavy bleeds. Is there anything in particular that you have for that? Because that is a common thing that I hear as well, you know, or long bleeds, you know, having a heavy long bleed for, you know, more than 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, again, this goes back to that concept of really needing to understand the person. I think it can be dangerous, and maybe that's a strong word, but ineffective to do general stuff. And I will say this, if you are having heavy bleeds and long bleeds, that is generally a sign of pitta, right? Pitta imbalance that needs to be addressed, especially like there are pathologies in Ayurveda where if you're bleeding for a really long time, like we need to take more aggressive therapy and an approach. So I can say that as a general rule, if you are having heavy and long bleeds, follow a pitta pacifying diet and lifestyle and see how that helps you and supports you. Yeah, but that's getting into territory where we're looking at like there's too much sharp quality in the blood. And yeah, I don't know if that's what I have for that.
Okay. Yeah. And I definitely hear you with that. Like you do have to like look at the individual, and but I was just thinking of like common things that that I see. And maybe this is a bit more of like a personal thing that I'm asking just because I've experienced it myself. What I kind of coach a lot of women around is missing periods. So as I shared with you earlier, I suffered with amenorrhea, which is a loss of a period for 3 or more months, for 7 months, 4 years ago. And so there's like a lot of lifestyle. I think stress management is a huge thing. So I focus a lot on that. But would you say that's on the opposite side of pitta energy?
Well, I will say that, so I'll explain a little bit about the background of how Ayurveda understands the quality of your menstrual fluid, like of your menses, right? And if you're missing it, this relates to the plasma fluid. So roughly, so in Ayurveda, Rasa Dhatu is the first tissue. There are 7 tissues in Ayurveda, and it is the first tissue that is formed after eating food, right? We call food ahara rasa, which means before rasa. And rasa informs your menstrual cycle. So if you are not having a period, your rasa is dried up. And if you look at the physiology of women who are missing their periods, you will notice a pattern. It tends to be thinner women who are much drier, who have often competed very heavily in some kind of sport, right? And they're drying themselves out to such a degree that there is simply no juice left for them to bleed out. And this is also interesting in terms of pregnancy and lactation, because rasa informs both lactation and the menstrual cycle, right? The fluid thereof. And that's why you stop menstruating when you are breastfeeding, right? Your rasa has now switched its expression of coming out. You only have so much, right? You only have so much. And so that's why that shift happens. So that's what I always look at, like building up the juiciness of the body. And that means ghee. It can mean meat for some people. Definitely oil massage. And then there are some great herbs that I love to use for that. And they're actually the primary component of that yogini vitality tonic I was telling you about. But yeah, that's how Ayurveda understands amenorrhea.
So interesting. I'm learning so much today. And when I think of, or when I hear you saying you're drying your body out, you know, a common thing, and the ghee and the oil massage makes total sense, because a lot of times, yes, these women are thin. And this comes back to a cultural thing too, that we were talking about earlier. It's low fat diet. You know, like fat's the bad thing, but us women, we need fat. It's going to keep us from drying out, and it's going to keep us voluptuous and our cycle going.
That is right. So over time, we are turning from plump, juicy grapes into dried out raisins. So just think about, you got to rehydrate the raisin.
That's a good analogy. I like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm 40 and people often think I'm much younger, and it's because I follow a lot of plumping, juicing up practices, right? If it were not for Ayurveda, I think I would look 10 years older than I do right now. And it's that intelligence of bringing balance to my constitution, right? Because I actually lost my period when I was younger as well. And it's because I fucking starved myself, right? I smoked cigarettes. I drank a lot of coffee. I was super thin. I had no fat, you know, growing up in like the 90s and 2000s, like low, you know, as a teenager and then 20s, like low fat is like the rage, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Yeah. Just fucking women up all over the place.
It's true. I've experienced mine through the bikini competition world, but coming out of that, it is a mind fuck, because that first show when I had lost my period, to gain that weight back and looking at myself in the mirror, I was like distorted. Like I knew my yoga practice helped me. I knew I had to gain the weight back. But in the mirror, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting so fat, but I really wasn't. But I just had to go through that process. And I you know, it didn't stop me from eating, but I had that mental battle all the time.
And that is real, right? That is a direct result of women and people not experiencing full acceptance and community. And I really believe this is a symptom of segregation of children by age. It really stunts emotional maturity as we age, because we aren't taught, we don't get the opportunity to learn from kids who are older, to understand their experiences of sexuality, of moving through that world. And we're in these artificial like circles of one age. That is insane. That does not happen anywhere else. Like you look at indigenous culture, you are growing up with women and people of all ages all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see what the bodies look like. And instead what we have now is just this, like, we're trying to fit in into a very immature world where it is based on, especially in school growing up, unless you were really lucky, right? It's based on some dumb shit. And this really impacts our psychology. And so I really like to bring that awareness to people so that, you know, take your kids to Montessori school, put yourself around women of different ages. So you're not scared of getting older. You're not scared of being the crone, so that it becomes something to embrace and get excited about, because this is where your wisdom lives. This is your peak of your life. It is not a thing to be afraid of, right? And repressed and manipulated. And we can age juicy and bring that life force. So
yeah.
Just a little segue there.
No, that's okay. But it's all positive stuff. Like you say, we could age juicy, and all these tips that you have talked about today are going to help you age juicy and feel good. And I did not know you're 40. You do not look 40. I'm 36. I actually thought you were younger than me. So you're looking amazing. And but outside from looking amazing, your energy, you just got like such amazing energy. So I love it. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience here today in regards to what you do, or just some fun facts? You've shared so many valuable things already today.
Mm. Oh, I do want to add one more thing about cramping. Mm. And really, I suffered from really painful cramps. I've had surgery for fibroids, and that scar tissue really messed me up. And my favorite tool for cramps is cramp bark, hands down. Like, cause I was a person, I could take 800 milligrams of ibuprofen and still be in pain. And that's very damaging to the liver. So don't do that. Cramp bark is an excellent cramping remedy, and just relaxing and making sure to put heat on your body. And a castor oil pack is an excellent remedy, right? And I always bring it back to these very simple things, because sometimes we just forget, yeah. Right? Like even I forget things. I'm telling people stuff all the time, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I should do that too. So it's an opportunity to be reminded. And in terms of what I'm doing and what I'm super inspired to do in the world is I'm really focusing on teaching people, especially women, about how your dosha, your dominant dosha type in your body, relates to your divine calling in this world and how you can align with your divine design, right? And that's a key word that I came up with, because we're all so different, right? There, you and I, we have different energy levels. We have different things that light us up. There are just these incredible ways to optimize your strategy for life so that you can fully flourish. And if that's something that you're interested in, especially in the lens of Ayurveda, I invite you to connect with me, because it's just such a powerful tool. And it changed my life from the inside out. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing this science with other people.
That's beautiful. It is beautiful. And I definitely have not experienced it to the level you have, but I could say, I've used Ayurveda for some healing myself, and it is a very powerful medicine. So ladies, if any of this is speaking to you, definitely reach out to Maya. Her information will be in the show notes, but where could you be found?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at amayashiva.ayurveda. And you can find me online at amayashiva.com. And I will drop a link for my supplements company as well, if anyone wants to check out Yogini, because this stuff is such a game changer. And it's using all of the juiciest herbs from the classical text of Ayurveda that are traditionally prescribed for women's health. So take advantage.
And you create your own formula, right?
Yes, that's correct. So I studied Ayurveda with Dr. Basant Lad, who is a very well-known name in the West. And I had the privilege of watching him create thousands of formulas. And I have created hundreds for my own personal clients. And so this is my jam. This is where I get excited. I'm like, let's go. Like, customized herbal formulas, that is where it's at, right? That is where it's at.
I love that, because it's so easy to walk into Whole Foods and like just see all these supplements and herbs, and you just don't even know where to start. But to have someone so knowledgeable to create something specific for your body, that is where you're going to see the real change. And, you know, even kind of going back to the beginning of our conversation, walking into the doctor's office and them just saying, well, that's normal here, take birth control. That's not going to get rid of the root problem. It will put a Band-Aid. I see you put your hand on your face. But these herbal supplements are going to help address the root cause. And I don't know if I could stress that anymore. Like, if you listen to me speak probably in my previous podcast, see my postings, I'm always preaching about that. So that is so beautiful that you are doing that.
Oh my God. And I want to share something cool with you. So most of, we're talking about the root cause, and, you know, Swadhisthana chakra and Muladhara chakra are the lower chakras associated with menstrual cycles and pain. it is mostly root herbs that are healing women's cycles. Shatavari, right? Anantamool, all of these herbs, come from roots. And so we are literally tapping into our rootedness when we use them. So that's just super powerful reminder.
I got such goosebumps when you were sharing that. Yeah. And it's tapping into like that root chakra.
Yes.
That whole area, our root chakra, which is what keeps us grounded. And, And it's just like, as we were talking before we jumped onto this, is how everything is connected. So these root herbs are connected to our root chakra, which is, right below our sacral chakra. And all that is connected to our womb space. So we are healing that right from the foods we are eating.
Yes. So beautiful.
Yeah. I love that. Mm. Any last final words?
Okay. I just want to remind every single woman and potentially man listening here that you are so divine, and you are here to share your light, to share your magic, to share your medicine. And I'm just so excited to see how you unfold that gift into the world. And thank you so much for being here.
And thank you for being here and sharing your wisdom with my audience. I greatly appreciate it. I'm sure they greatly appreciate it. And for anyone listening, remember, just don't hesitate to reach out to Maya if you have any questions. All information will be below in the show notes. Have a lovely week, ladies, and I will see you next week.